Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 147 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined across the internet by my best friend, Garrett Drake.
Hello, my dearest of friends. I miss you terribly. I'm glad we're speaking via the internet this evening. How are you?
I'm doing quite fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm quite well. I had a lovely Easter Sunday, and lovely in particular due to the fact that I spent a day doing things I haven't done in either a very long time or just don't normally do. Because my everyday life for the last 2 years especially has been nothing but driving, sitting in front of a computer, and running sound. Just at all times, I'm doing one of those three things. And today, after that, I also went to Casey's grandma's church, which is out of the norm as well. Normally, I go to my own church, which is very big and flashy and in your face. And this church is much more dialed back, which was a little refreshing. And went to a church service like that. We went to Casey's brother's house and spent time with her family and had lunch and just hung out in their backyard and just kind of frolicked back there for an hour and a half. Now, I'm suffering at the same time because I inhaled so much pollen that I am my nose is completely sealed and I feel like I'm drowning in mucus. So I apologize for any disgusting noises I make into the microphone to all the listeners out there today. But yeah, we just frolicked in the backyard. I got, like I said, I was caked in pollen. My shoes, man, were completely yellow after we went in. But you know, we kicked a ball around. We played with their dog. We threw some sticks. We collected pine cones. Did an Easter egg hunt.
Sounds like a hoot.
Just hung out. It was a nice day. It just was very refreshing. And then we came home and took a nap for 4 hours. And I woke up at 8:30. So I'm going to be up all night and have a class at 8:30 in the morning. So nice. I've doomed myself. But
yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah,
it was a fun day, though.
Pollen. Spent several hours washing my car, and it was all for naught because the next day it's just yellow, pretty much. Looks like a big Cheeto.
Right. Yeah. I guess once summer hits, it could use a good washing.
Yeah, for sure. But anyways, Garrett, I wanted to say earlier, I envision us as the I don't know how rusty you are on your SpongeBob knowledge, but the episode where Mr. Krabs and SpongeBob were, SpongeBob is working at the Chum Bucket and Mr. Krabs is stuck at the Krusty Krab and their ghostly forms are above the buildings outreaching, like outstretched towards each other. And that's just how I envision us right now. Just
that is exactly what's happening right now.
Our spiritual forms reaching across the state of Georgia towards each other, just to touch fingertips.
So, I mean, this episode, it really is a glorified phone call that everyone's listening in on.
Pretty much. Very creepily. It sounds better than
I don't recall inviting anyone here.
Yeah.
Somehow it was made public, but thanks to everyone for joining us this week. There is no video, obviously, just due to the circumstances. It'd be kind of weird. I mean, granted, we could, if we really were inspired, could do like a Google Hangout and record the video, but we don't think it's really necessary. So we're just chatting, dude.
Yeah, man, but it was good to hear you had a good Easter. I had a good Easter as well. Just hung out with the family. Did like you, just typical Easter things.
Did you hunt some eggs?
No, didn't hunt eggs, unfortunately.
Maybe, but when you have children.
Yes, maybe.
You can always do an Easter egg hunt with your dogs.
Yeah,
some doggy treats around the yard and have them hunt those down.
Yeah,
that's just an idea.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds really good.
Yeah,
but really, really quick. I know this is technical jargon, but I'm supposed to be recording in mono, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal, but
yeah. Sorry.
I would strip it to mono anyway.
Didn't mean to break character there.
That's okay.
But anyways,
the whole show's ruined.
But as you said earlier, your week was full of all the things you had stated, but did you at least get to dive in to some video games?
Oh, Preston, did I? Let me tell you about it. Sorry, my animals, as usual, are enlightening the podcast here. I played a whole lot of Far Cry, which we'll talk about here very soon. But I will first talk about Sea of Thieves. I officially reviewed Sea of Thieves for COD Connected.
Oh, what's that crap? I was going to do some intro music to you. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
There it is. That's been stuck in my head since the last time you did that the other night.
So now it will continue. Is I always have to like really think hard to remember how it goes.
Yeah, it's a curse I bear, just like the curse of the Black Pearl from Pirates of the
Caribbean. You're gonna be on your deathbed with your family surrounding you, and that's gonna still be playing.
Well, Garrett, do you have anything left to say? You have moments to spare. Just croak. That'll be my legacy. See,
I never made it to legendary rank.
Exactly.
You could still be playing until your old age and you still wouldn't have made it, probably.
You're right. I gave it a 65 out of 100, which basically equates to a 6.5 out of 10. And
Sozier of PlayStation fanboy.
Exactly, dude. Hashtag not fanboys. But I actually have a lot of positive things to say about it, but I did have some gripes, obviously, those of which we have discussed on this podcast in the previous weeks. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the game is that I still think about it despite not enjoying it very much because I see the potential in it. Just like most people do that have played it, they see the potential because I wouldn't even describe it as a bad video game or even necessarily like a poorly designed game. I think it's just, like we've said, a very strong foundation from which to build. And that was my basic conclusion of the review. If you want to read it, if you're a reader or a video watcher for that kind of stuff, it's on COD Connected's YouTube channel on their website. But so I won't go into too much detail about my thoughts on it because we've talked about it. But yeah, I did not make it to legendary status. I talked to the owner of COG about it, and we didn't think it was totally necessary. Obviously, I wish I could have made it for Rare's sake, but everyone else who was reviewing it also had not made it, so I'm like, we might as well do what they're doing.
Yeah, it's like the only person that actually made it had to do this technique with boosting, where like
exactly.
Several people. Yeah, so it's not even feasible to have done that.
Yeah, it would have taken a lifetime. I probably would have reviewed it in 6 months from now. But yeah. I was glad for the opportunity to do so because I like reviewing games when I can, especially one that has a lot of notoriety like that one. So that was a nice little privilege to have. But what was I going to say about it? The master status or whatever. The guy that did make it. Let's talk about that because I haven't actually seen it. You told me about it and I heard someone else mention it. So kind of bring us up to speed for those that don't know and give me your thoughts on it.
Well, as far as what I saw is, like I just said a second ago, he used some type of boosting mechanic that has made people in that are like really serious about Sea of Thieves pretty pissed off, which I'm not exactly sure why. So if you know, please let me know, because I have no clue why that would irritate me, even if I liked Sea of Thieves. Second of all, I think you get like a song and you play it in a tavern and it opens this pit and you just go into this cove and there's a bunch of pirate ghosts there and it's just a new faction to just level up with some more quests and you can unlock some more cosmetics. And I think the shop down there, you just buy the same exact stuff, like the same ship pieces that are above ground are the exact same down there. So you can see like on the guy's face, the guy that's streaming, just disappointment just set in after that. Because there is
no man
really,
see. It's for real.
Yeah, there really is this massive like ship down there, and they were like, "Oh, dude, is that like our ship?" I think that's what one of the guys says, but it's just one you can just walk on. It does nothing. So, yeah, kind of a bummer.
That's what's sad is that it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about. That person's called like Mysterious Stranger or something in all the taverns. It's like a different NPC that just kind of stands there in the corner. And I guess that riddle I discussed when they said something about get all your factions to 5 and like a weird riddle of some sort. And I thought he meant level 5 for everything. I didn't think that'd be the actual master status guy. But I guess he means 5 as in 50 for all of them. So that's quite a difference between 5 and 50. But that's fine, I guess. obviously that does not compel me at all to pursue that. So I'm hoping.
So it's like, let's say you get legendary rank and then you're wearing, I guess the ultimate goal of the game is to get full, like a full cosmetic set from the dude down there.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of, well, I'm trying to think of other MMOs. You're like striving to get like the one piece of gear, but at least that gear helps you
right
in the game. So yeah, it's not really on the same level at all, but
I wonder if Rare even considered other games like this in the development process. I mean, they had to have had, like, Destiny, for example, or Anthem. Obviously Anthem coming soon, but what's it, the game Warframe, other games just sort of like Sea of Thieves, and Sea of Thieves isn't necessarily like a Destiny per se, but it's similar. You know, there's the factions, the four-player party you can play in. That the cosmetic thing, like, yeah, cosmetics are cool, but give them a little more oomph as far as statistics or characteristics that kind of boost your play style a bit. Nothing terribly significant, because I know that game's designed to be very simplistic and accessible.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's the ultimate middle schooler game, even though middle schoolers seem to be completely enthralled with Fortnite. According to Zach, one of his wife's friends has a son who's in late elementary school, coming into middle school. And he had never played Fortnite before he went to Zach's house. And he had only watched YouTube videos. And in his second round, he won.
Wow.
On Xbox. Yeah, and Zach's like, you've never played this? He's like, no, my mom doesn't let me. I just watch YouTube videos all day. And Zach's like, you just blew my mind. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, Fortnite's obviously the talk of the town. So I don't know how many kids are actually playing Sea of Thieves. But according to that headline I read, I didn't read into it, but Sea of Thieves is the Xbox One's best-selling IP of this generation. Is that correct?
Yes, I read that as well.
That's fascinating, man.
I mean, what other new IP has there even been?
I guess new IP, that makes sense. I read it as just IP in general, so I guess they mean new IP.
I thought it was new IP. I mean, Microsoft isn't exactly dumping those out,
right?
You know, frequently. The last one I can even think of off the top of my head was like ReCore.
And I'm wondering if they're including Game Pass downloads with that as well.
No, they're not.
Okay.
They're not. Yeah. I don't think they are. As far as like the VG charts, the things that people are siding towards, that is purely just actual sales.
Okay. Wow. It'll be interesting to see how State of Decay and Crackdown sell in comparison. I feel like Sea of Thieves is one of those attractive massive multiplayer type games that a lot of people want to get in on versus the other two, but...
Yeah.
I mean, again, I can see the appeal. I mean, I was appealed into playing it, especially the betas. And once we got into that beta, I realized very quickly, we're like, oh, this is that. It's going to be like this.
I mean, the signs have been there. Pretty much every game preview I ever saw for the game was, it's fun, but I would kind of just were sailing around and stuff. So I think the writing was on the wall. And I don't know if you by chance read the article. It could be fake. Like, who knows? I briefly read it, but apparently an art director who left kind of talked about his experience while he was there. And just he kind of talked through his experience, like kind of working there. And since having left, thinking like, dang, there's like no content here. And like he knew that everybody knew it.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's like there's so much ambition that just hasn't been acted on yet. So, I mean, again, they've said they're going to update it over time, but...
Yeah. But, I mean, think about how long... I believe it was a... Oh, man, my facts are a little rusty, but somebody made a point, and it could be way off, so I'd actually have to check the numbers, but I guess we can kind of, like... I don't really know what I'm trying to say right here. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Somebody made a point of, like... comparing the time it took for CD Projekt Red to make The Witcher 3 and compare Rare making this game. And I know this is like a multiplayer game and stuff, but when you just think about, I don't know, just kind of compare them and look at the similar, you know, time frame. I think they're around like, I think CFTs took like four something years. And I think The Witcher was around the same ish.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of just, you know, compare those two, and it's kind of just like, oh, that's interesting.
Yes, it is.
So, oh, the art, I know the art guy said that they spent so much time just making the crap, what's the word I'm looking for? The steering of the ship, or just the commanding, driving the ship. No, it's not driving the ship.
It's called the helm.
What I'm talking about. Yeah, whatever it is, making the ship go.
Yeah.
They spent so much time trying to make that good that I guess everything else kind of got away from them.
I mean, I'll admit, that's one of, that is the best part of the game, is sailing the boat around with your friends easily.
Yeah.
So, and ship battles are surprisingly fun for as weak as the combat is. I mean, once you get on a ship and start slashing at people, it's not as cool. But I've seen some fun Twitch highlights from people jumping to other ships and stealing treasure without other people noticing, and then somehow managing to get back to their ship as they pass by and everything. Yeah. So, and that one clip on Twitter floating around of the guy like, "Captain!" He's like, yeah. He's like, "Fuck!" The music kicks in.
That's hilarious.
That guy's passion and that scream is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So stuff like that is really good. And I know you and I had some fun moments, but yeah, playing it in its entirety, and I mostly played by myself while reviewing it. I was pretty bored, to say the least. But before we move on from Sea of Thieves,
like I said, I downloaded it and I ran around the island for 30 seconds and I turned it off.
I can't do it. So let's very briefly reiterate our ideas we discussed last week about what we'd like to see implemented into the game, and then maybe discuss a few new ones. We can just brainstorm for a minute, because I'm going to be writing about this week, for COG about the things Rare can do to keep people from quote unquote jumping ship in the Sea of Thieves, to keep people around, obviously. So I definitely want to include some of those ideas we discussed, and then maybe a few more we can maybe talk about. And I'm not even talking about, it has to be that practical, just cool ideas that we'd like to see eventually implemented that are realistic, but also just having fun with it. Yeah. So I know we talked about the PvP faction, which everyone has talked about. That's a given.
I have three massive things I think absolutely have to be done, and I don't think that it is going to be as easy for the three things that I'm about to say. I don't think that it can easily be implemented in an update. Hopefully I'm dead wrong, but these three things kind of seem like something that would be more suited for a sequel or something.
All right.
But I think one of those things is combat, and I don't want to completely, you know, regurgitate what I said last week, but I think there need to be perk trees. There need to be just tiers of weapon, perks for weapons. And I think, I don't want to bring in another point to this, but there needs to be more variety of the combat, more weapons. I think getting weapons actually needs to be a big deal. So I think an actual loot system needs to be implemented. Just, you know, imagine bringing in one of these ships and knowing there's a chance of getting a good gun instead of just gold repeated, you know?
Right.
And if you want to hear, I guess, a slightly more in-depth talk on just what I think about the weapons, you can go to last week's podcast, and I know we talk about Sea of Thieves way longer than we're probably going to talk about in this podcast. But I know the second big thing is that, you know what? I guess technically I'll say there are four things. So I'm going to put one of them, another one, into what I was just saying. Along with the combat, there needs to be a much bigger variety of villains. Because even if the combat is better, if you're still fighting skeletons over and over and over again, it's still going to get as repetitive as it already is. So there needs to be, you know, more enemies along with a more, reamped combat system, you know, different tactics to take down, you know, different things, just so you're not just, you know, shooting a skeleton in the face for 60 hours. So my number two thing is there needs to be actual missions to go on. There needs to be dungeons. There needs to be dungeons, but in a pirate way, like old prisons to go through, old forts to go into, like grottos or whatever. There needs to be a more of a linear based mission type to kind of just go through with your people, I think, and having, you know, a reward at the end, or branching paths, and to kind of imagine going through a level like this and having to carry chests with you along the way, having to protect them from enemies, like putting them down and firing, and some enemies can come grab them and take them away from you, and you actually have to protect your treasure as you go through these dungeons. I think that would be something really cool. And alongside that, I think the third thing is I really think that there needs to be a main narrative in this game. I know one of the big parts of this game and a lot of games now is you build your own narrative. That's fine. You can still do that, but I still think there needs to be a central narrative as well, something that kind of pushes you and all the other players along. I don't necessarily know what that would be, but I'm sure there could be something cool, like with supernatural elements with Damon Jones.
I think the opening crawl is something about Athena on the sea.
Okay.
So maybe implement that somehow, like Athena has plagued the seas. You have to build up to pirate legend status to save the ocean. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, even if you were doing these repeated things over and over again, if you had like a narrative kind of pushing you forward, you might be mm-hmm. more like enticed to do so. But I mean, I'm thinking more along the lines of just something like Destiny, where you just kind of go into a mission with a narrative with all these other people kind of going through these dungeons or levels, like I said, with just a narrative kind of, you know, pushing you forward. Like maybe there's a, like I said, Davy Jones is going crazy, him and Kraken are like, you know, they've brought hell to the seas and you gotta stay. I don't freaking know. Just something. I want something compelling me to go forward and stuff. And you can right. still have those like your own stories on the side as well. So I think those are really the three big things for me. And like I said, I don't know if those can be put into this game. That seems like total sequel material.
I don't think it's wrong to think of those things either, because I've definitely thought of those myself to an extent. To kind of reiterate on all of them, to bounce off the combat side of things first with stats and weapons and whatnot. For a game, let's pretend there aren't even characteristics of weapons. They are purely just cosmetic still. But even to that end, considering the game's so cosmetic focused, what if at the very least when you discover treasure... Because it's not exciting when, and it's one thing to just dig up treasure. I mean, that's cool or whatever, but just to simply dig up the treasure chest and just deliver it to someone else is not exciting. I wish you could actually crack open your own treasure chest and get something. Yeah. So I wish there was a way to not only acquire treasure chest to deliver, but you can also dig up treasure chest to just have for yourself. And when you open it, it pops loot out. It's very similar to Destiny, where everyone has like their own instance of loot to pick up. And say, oh, I got a new pirate hat, or I got a new revolver, or blah, blah, blah. And it lets, even if it is just cosmetic, that's, and I know, again, you have to consider like, doesn't that undermine being able to purchase cosmetic items? Well, maybe the only ones that pop are, in very rare cases, legendary items, or typically just common items that just kind of keep things interesting. But if you really want the cool stuff, you have to pay for it in the shops. I don't know. Same thing with weapons popping out of chests or finding them in a hidden location. I think they also need to fill up islands more with, excuse me, with more to discover and more to do. Because every island I go to, I dig the treasure and I leave, because whether it's simply a message in a bottle or a gold artifact for a little extra cash for the gold hoarders or something, or randomly there will be a skull laying around somewhere, there just is nothing to look at on the islands. So I'd like to find a cave where we find a... I don't know, more treasure or something. I mean, that's, one could argue there are things to find there, but they're just very few and far between. I would like the weapon thing in combat improved as well. This perk gives you better accuracy, or this perk helps you reload faster, or this weapon you've purchased or found in a drop has a higher ammo capacity or whatnot. I don't know if clothing should have stats or not in that game. What do you think? Is that even necessary?
Stats for what?
For like your clothing. Do you think they should just keep it confined to like the ship and weapons specifically?
No, I mean, I would like there to be a full-on armor-ish system. Just like with a different skill, like maybe your gloves give you faster reloading, just stuff like that. Like I think that would be needed as well.
Yeah, we got to think about what is the core experience intended to be in Sea of Thieves? Is it simply just sailing the seas, finding treasure with your buddies? Because if that's the core experience, I'm trying to think of the best way to improve that. Obviously, we're thinking about improving things surrounding that main idea. But I think you're right about the best way to expand on that specifically is adding some sort of narrative that kind of is the driving force behind it all. Especially now that people have seen what the legendary status Cove is like. I mean, that's not going to compel anyone to want to pursue it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of just want it to be more MMO-ish. Like, I would like there to be a big fortress at the end that, like, maybe eight dudes get, like, a giant group of people get together. Maybe that's the Kraken, is just a massive boss fight or something like that, or fighting Davy Jones or just somebody. Just a big event at the end, and that's the only place that you can get, like, the ghost cosmetics or ghost weapons or like the in-game stuff, you know?
Yeah. That's what I like, especially from the fortress raids that are in the game. Instead of just going in there and again, finding skulls and gold trinkets and treasure chests to deliver, you can crack one open and it drops all this legendary loot for you and your buddies for defeating the fortress and fighting off all your other PvP enemies and whatnot. Speaking of PvP stuff, the PvP faction, I think what I said in the review I'd like to really, really see is just the idea of that faction marking a pirate ship as the public enemy that they've been killing the most people, and now there's a high bounty on their head, and you'll get rewards for defeating them. That'd be cool, because I think you got to wonder how would that really... It'd have to be a pretty substantial reward for killing them, and I think that would play into everything else we've talked about adding to the game, that would give people an incentive to, well, we're in the middle of a quest right now, but if we go pursue these players and their ship and we defeat them, we're going to get a ton of awesome stuff for doing it. I think that's huge. I mean, that's crucial to have in there. And also that'd be kind of cool if, even beyond killing them, if you can manage to steal their loot and return it to the PvP faction instead of the gold hoarders, for example, if you choose to sell it to them, you get maybe different style of rewards or something.
Yeah.
That's another idea. You know, I like the dungeon side of things too. Just going to an island and an instant starts where you go into a massive cave and go through it and have to escape with your treasure without the, like, the sea creature enemies we've added, or whether it be skeletons or even pirate PvE enemies or NPCs that'll fight you as well, that are just enemy pirates that aren't actual players. It could be kind of cool. Yeah. Just keep things interesting, I guess. But I think all those ideas are really solid, and I will definitely be talking about them this week. Yeah, I'm going to mention that I won't use you by name, but I'll just mention that my buddy and I have brainstormed about this, because I didn't come up with all that on my own. But
cool.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people thought similar things about the game. It's funny because, again, I'm not at all excited about playing it. I mean, I don't plan on playing it again anytime soon unless there's a really cool update coming. But I still think about it because I believe in what it could be. Same thing, that's what's sad about Destiny, though, is that I feel like this is another game where we're just talking about, like, imagine what it could be or what it could have been. Even with Star Wars Battlefront, I know that isn't anything like these two games, but and this isn't every game, but I hate seeing so much potential just undermined. And it's almost like Destiny or Bungie and Rare are, like, afraid to be MMOs in a sense. I don't know if they're afraid or they just can't do it, or they're just intentionally choosing to not do it when that's what everyone wants. I don't know.
Yeah.
But just another one of those games, man, where it could be so much more than it is. But,
yeah, I hear you.
Speaking of Sea of Thieves, this kind of brings us to the news side of things. You can bring us in after this a little bit if you want. But according to James Paley of COD Connected, Rare has officially redacted their idea to charge players upon death in the game, because it was just an objectively bad idea. But or at least they claim their messaging wasn't properly expressed, because they want to give more impact to death in the game. That's another thing I thought about dabbling with, is the idea of when you go to Davy Jones, maybe he gives you a quest to escape. I mean, obviously that could get very annoying very quickly if just players kill you over and over and over again, you get trapped there. I mean, maybe it's a quest that you can just do over time. Like, you can leave if you want when those doors open, but you'll get this cool ghostly reward if over time you nick away at it when you're in the underworld. Then again, they would have to create some sort of underworld aspect of the game that's just a whole nother layer. So I don't know how feasible that is, but that's something in the underworld I think would be cool, rather than just being there and then just leaving.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Well, I don't want to talk too much about Sea of Thieves again.
No. Yeah, that was the last little caps that they've redacted the death toll.
Especially since I'm sure a very, very small percentage of the community even cares about Sea of Thieves at right. all. Mm-hmm. I know in our Discord, I've never seen anybody else playing it. So, no. So anyways, but yeah, that'll probably be our final little tangent there on Sea of Thieves, unless it something miraculous happens and it actually becomes something incredible. So anyways, sorry, I did halfway through that, I got a text message of something that I just rocked my world.
Is it bad?
Yeah, kind of bad.
Is it just depressing, or is it?
Yeah, it's pretty depressing. Georgia just lost a massive commit for the 2019 season.
Okay, you scared me for a second.
No. Well, I am. My soul is very hurt now.
Yeah, that does suck. But
yeah, it's
I'm not
funny,
too hung
guy,
up on the recruit side of things right now.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyways, so I did zone out there a little bit in the middle, but sorry about that. Anyways, besides Sea of Thieves, man, I guess the main thing that we played for the most part was Far Cry. And I know that me and you probably have a good bit to say about that game. But first, I would like to say that before we really dive into that I did play quite a bit more of Ni No Kuni today and also last night. I'm about 12 hours through the game. And I'm still loving it. It's awesome. The story's just really, really compelling to me. I really want to see just kind of what's going on. I pretty much where I am at in the game right now is I'm building my own kingdom called Evermore. And I'm trying to, like I said last week, I'm trying to build a kingdom with no war. Everybody happily ever after. And I found this city called I think it's Goldpaw. I think that's what it is, which is funny because I went to this city the night after we filmed last week's podcast where Jacob was asking if there are any dog people. And yeah. That's exactly what this city is. It's just a bunch of dog people. So the main leader of this, or the king of this city, his name was Pugnacious or something like that. He's just a big pug. And the really cool thing about this city is it's very much like inspired by Chinese culture. The architecture, you know, looks like ancient China, and the soundtrack is as well. And what's cool is that everything in this city is dictated by a roll of the dice, by Lady Luck. So every month they have this massive dice roll to determine how high their taxes will be. And they've rolled six. When you stumble upon this place, they've rolled three sixes in a row, which is the highest your taxes can go. So you can already see from there kind of what's going on with the government or whatever in this place. So that's a pretty cool story that unfolds, trying to get these people to sign on with your kingdom and stuff. So I actually got through that one, and I'm traveling to the next city or a kingdom called Hydropolis, which is like fish people. So I'm having to recruit this boat guy to build me a boat so I can sail across. But it's awesome. I'm really loving it. Like I said last week, it's just such a happy game to play. The combat's satisfying. I'm really digging the characters. And I just started a new mechanic, actually, where you actually build your kingdom. You you do every side quest you do is to recruit somebody to come to your kingdom. And based on what skills they have, you can put them in the trades that are best suited for them. Like if somebody's good at crafting armor or weapons, you put them there, and you can do like research and development to build up the weapons and armor that you either want to craft or buy or improve. And there's like shops and stuff. And I think the more reputation you get, the more currency that you rake in to spend on upgrades and other things. So it's surprisingly fun. It's not super complicated, so you're not just going through menus constantly, but it's not completely watered down. It's not like a baby's like kingdom simulator. There's just a perfect like middle of the line like kind of a complexity to it, which I really enjoy, because I don't feel like I'm having to babysit my kingdom you know, nonstop. I can still be doing my other missions, and I'll still have a couple of minutes or whatever to upgrade my stuff whenever I actually go back to my kingdom. So that part is really fun, and it actually gives you incentive to do these side quests, because every side quest you do builds up your kingdom, mm-hmm. and you can also get rewards as well alongside them committing to come to you. So yeah, man, it's just it's super awesome. I'll say it again, it is a very much a Jacob game. I'm telling you, he would freaking love that game. It just has him written all over it, and I do know that you would also like it very much as well.
Yeah, it's really calling to me, I'll be honest.
Yeah,
I think Far Cry and A Way Out are going to eat up my time until God of War. But
yeah,
I can see myself playing that in the future for sure. I know I say that about 1,000 games, but that one especially and Persona 5 are in the top of my to-do list. And Nier at this point, those three Japanese games. So
yeah, those are all fantastic games. Yeah, at least this one and Nier aren't too time-consuming. You know, I mean, I'm like I said, I'm 12 hours through the game, but I'm taking my time doing all the side quests. I'm doing exactly probably what you would do. So I'm assuming it's probably going to be around 50 or 60 hours if I play it exactly how I want to. But God of War is coming up, so I might have to kind of put my foot on the pedal to speed it up a little bit, depending on, you know, kind of how far along I am. Work doesn't look too brutal this week. So I think one of my main goals is to kind of just fully commit myself to Ni No Kuni and kind of push through it, and I don't mean that as like, oh, you gotta get through it, but because I really want to sit down and play that game so bad. But it is I am having Far Cry on my mind as well, so I guess we can kind of get into that right now. But yeah, like I said, as I'm playing Ni No Kuni, Far Cry is on the back of my mind because I'm having an absolute blast playing Far Cry 5. I'm enjoying it way more than I thought I would. So I don't know about you. I mean, I thought I would enjoy it, but it's kind of exceeding my expectations a little bit. And I don't know exactly why, because it is kind of doing the same Far Cry formula, but I'm just having so much fun playing it.
Yeah, I really like it a lot. It is just like minor changes too that have really enthused me. Even this is so easy, I'd imagine, the developer's part, but I appreciate the fact that every outpost I liberate, there's always a note laying around that kind of explains what the cult was doing there in the first place. And it just kind of gives a little more support to the story and the overall narrative to the game of what they're doing, what they're trying to accomplish. So I thought that's kind of a cool little detail. Gameplay wise, I know I'm beating a dead horse at this point, but I think the map is brilliant. I like how it isn't just littered with icons of things to pursue. Even outposts, for example, aren't marked on your map. You just have to stumble upon them, which I know they're like the smoke signals you can kind of see in the sky from a distance, but I like just stumbling upon things in the game and not feeling like I'm constantly just marking somewhere on my map and going after it. So I like that side of things. I think all the characters I've interacted with are interesting in their own right. I've hardly met any of them. I've only played the game for maybe 8 or 9 hours right now. I mean, on PS4, I played for a good 6 or 7, but on PC specifically, I've only played beyond that about 4 hours. So I'm still in the very beginning of the game. I'm almost done with John's region down south. I keep getting Jacob and John mixed up, but I haven't finished it because in the developer like letter that came with the review codes, they said they recommended kind of dabbling in each region before you finish every single one instead of doing it in chunks, because mixing and matching certain specialists together can make for really interesting gameplay scenarios. And just narrative scenarios, like some of the things they'll say to each other. So that may be like a minor thing to some people, but I want to experience that as well. So I kind of want to discover a bunch of the characters and kind of mix and match them as my allies as I go into certain fights and everything before I finish it up. But I like the setting a lot. How do you feel about the setting?
Oh, I actually like the setting a ton.
Yeah.
I thought I would be kind of kind of thought I wouldn't really be digging it as much as I am, due to it not being, you know, like exotic or tropical or what we kind of expect from Far Cry. But I don't know, I like the just simplicity of it just being just a really pretty just mountains and forests and streams. It just feels very just like just rural, just good old boys, just yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love hanging out with the guys.
That was such an elegant way
holes.
To explain that. Yeah. But I am liking it a whole lot.
I love just hanging out next to a fishing hole, and they're like, just they don't shut up the entire time. I like the things they have to say, like fishing, it's good for the soul. Like, you need to catch a fish, you can sell it to a vendor and give you some money. But I like fishing a lot. I think it, as simple as it is, I think it's perfectly designed fishing in the game because it's not overly complicated. I feel like I'm actually pulling in a fish with my mouse. So that's fun. And I like the way of making money too. You're not crafting your ammo pouches and whatnot. Now it's just all in the perk tree, which all the perks are just so good in the game. I don't think there's any one of them that sucks less than another. Obviously there are ones that I prioritize over the others, especially anything involved with stealth. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm so out of it. Moving around, I'll say, like the wingsuit and the parachute and stuff like that. But I can't even compose a thought this evening, Preston. I'm sorry. I'm tired, but two, like I said, I'm stuffed up with pollen.
That's fine.
But I like the setting as well. I love how there's the big mountainous region, which I'm exploring right now up north. And John's region is kind of cool too because there's more lakes and more farmland and everything.
Yeah.
I have no idea what to expect from Faith's region. I haven't seen any of it yet.
Is John's the one down south?
John's down south, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I know we went up north a little bit for Jacob's. I know when we played co-op the other night in streams. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I've been strictly down near a Falls End.
Yeah.
Like you said, I'm really digging just the farmland down there. And I completely agree with you with the map, just the map not being cluttered. But even if the stuff isn't on the map, I feel like there's just the perfect amount of side quests and stuff
there is,
to
yeah.
do. Mm-hmm. Just I'm not being overwhelmed at all. I might have like 4 or 5 side quests going on. And I like how the guns for hire are just labeled, and I can go check those out whenever. And there's not just a butt ton of those or whatever. So
yeah,
I just feel like there's a really good amount of content, and it makes me feel way less, you know, stressed out knowing that there's a decent amount to do, but not just a crap ton like Assassin's Creed or whatever. Just knowing that I have a lot on my plate. So it makes me feel way less stressed out knowing that I can actually probably, you know, handle everything in this game.
Totally. I also like how the open world there's a whole lot to just dabble in outside of missions, whether they be side missions or story missions, like the NPCs or allies you have that are kind of in handcuffs or whatever on the side of the road, and you can just either run over the bad guy and free them or just get out of your car and shoot him and save him, which also leads to more notoriety against the enemies. Hunting and fishing, like I mentioned, if there's a fishing spot, I'll sometimes stop by just to catch a fish or two to sell later. Because over time, you do amass a decent amount of cash from hunting and fishing. So if I see like a big bear or some sort of large animal or like a mountain lion that I know will get me a nice bit of change, I'll take them out if I see them. Speaking of the animals, it's so funny. I've seen so many funny clips on the internet too, but even in my own experience, just animals coming out of nowhere, either attacking me or another NPC. And stream specifically, I almost clipped it. I don't know why I haven't done it yet, but it was the funniest thing. I freed a guy on the side of a lake, and he was in the middle of saying something to me, and he's like, "Wait, is that a?" And before he could finish what he was saying, a massive alpha black bear leapt out of this bush and just ate him alive in front of me. And I was screaming, and it chased after me, and I had to kill it. But stuff like that happens all the time in the game, and it's so funny. But even with just enemies, too, they'll do the funniest thing sometimes. I've seen enemies try to drive up and run me over, but they'll hit a tree and stuff, or like a plane is trying to attack me, and it'll run into something or shoot other people. It's a very dynamic world. You never know what you can expect from all the craziness that goes on, so I like that a lot. And Far Cry, just the core gameplay, I think it's designed so well. It feels good to play, especially on PC. This game's just another reminder the PC was just the best investment I've ever made as a gamer, because it is just an incredible experience.
I think I was going to say that this is my first Far Cry game even playing on PC.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's kind of why it feels, there's just something that I can't put my finger on that just feels different about this, because all in all, like, nothing's really changed gameplay wise. You infiltrate these places and you can either stealthily take them out with just, you know, your variety of weapons. Could you customize your weapons in Far Cry 4? I don't even remember.
You could, yeah.
You could. Okay. So, it's really the same thing, but just the new environment and the, just the still solid gunplay and just the missions you're doing just kind of just make it funner. I don't know.
I also like the added bit of not only are there outposts, but there's also hostage situations where if they see you, they'll kill the hostages. Yeah. So you kind of have to be stealthy in those situations. Again, yeah. I'm stealthy at all times anyway, because I think it's more fun. But yeah. I like that added level of what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think. There's risk there if you screw up. So
no, I know it. I feel like I'm rambling on too as well. It's just so late.
But how do you feel about the villain, the main villain?
I like him. I was about to kind of talk about that. I'm liking the story more than I liked Far Cry 4 for sure. I thought Pagan Min was fine, but
I thought he was a fun villain, but he didn't have a whole lot of depth.
I was kind of just done with him. I remember at the very end, spoilers for Far Cry 4, you just kind of walk in his complex at the end and you can either shoot him or not. And I didn't even think about it. I just walked in, was just like, poof, just shot him in the head.
So did
I. Yeah, I was just kind of done at that point with him because there was just he was just teasing you repeatedly. And I think you had circumstances where he just would like escape time after time. So I was just like, oh, I'm sick of you. So I really didn't even think he was, I remember thinking when I beat the game that he really wasn't even that evil either. I know he was like trying to kill you and did things, but I just had a feeling, I was like, this guy doesn't even feel evil compared to like Voss or whatever in 3. I'm liking it. What's this guy's name? Is he just Father Seed?
I think it's Joseph Seed.
Joseph Seed. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And then there's Jacob and John and Joseph. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Jacob, John, Joseph, and Faith, their sister.
Gotcha. Yeah. But I'm just enjoying the main narrative. I think it's really interesting. Just the whole crazy cult thing. I think it's interesting. I think those characters we just named are interesting. I don't know Faith. I haven't seen anything with Faith. I've seen just a very small snippet of Jacob, the guy up north, and I actually just completely finished the entire region of John down south. Have you done that yet?
I have not.
Okay. And I thought the final act mission of that was freaking awesome. So I definitely look forward to hearing what you think about that, but just the entire mission of kind of fully just like taking him on and just that entire ordeal, I enjoyed a ton. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the other regions, like taking them over, compares to this one and just how the final mission compares as well. But I really like the characters as well. I like the people down in Falls End, which is funny. I'm just talking about how much I like them. I can't even remember their names.
Right.
But I do. I think they're pretty cool. The guy that flies the airplane, I think he's funny. Is his name Ray? Is that it? I
know he's married to.
Oh yeah, he's married to, his wife is Kim, and they're having the baby. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I
feel
like they were very, very endearing characters. I liked their mission where they were kind of talking about how they were going to escape, and he's like, but no, I got to get my daddy's plane back and we got to fight back and stuff. I liked it.
Yeah, that was cool. I'm forgetting her name. The sniper? I know.
I even wrote about it in the video. I can't remember her name.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Well, I think she is like Natalie, badass. Maybe? No, it's not that. She's badass. I always have her with me.
I want to meet the bow girl who has the bow.
Yeah, she looks cool. But I like the sniper. I think her ability's cool. I'll point at people and she'll snipe them for me.
Yeah.
And I just like her attitude. She's a cool character. I thought the mission to recruit her was fun as well. And so I'm pretty much just keeping her and Boomer with me. And yeah, just all the people I've met so far are cool. They got the crazy, there's a crazy tech guy who sends you off doing like finding alien artifacts and stuff. Yeah. He's fun.
I was going to say that I think there's a really healthy balance of, you know, like the serious tone of the main narrative, but also just the goofy stuff.
Yeah.
Throughout the open world too, that you can engage
yeah.
in.
I heard some negative things about how that just throws off the main narrative, but I have it. I'm not really feeling that way. I think there is a really nice mixture between funny stuff and really serious stuff, because it seems like the main narrative is pretty serious, like liberating the South region. That entire mission was pretty brutal and very serious. Like some pretty crazy stuff happens in that mission, and then the next second I'm, you know, finding bull testicles.
Right.
but those are like side extra things. If that was like really, I can't think of anything main narrative wise that's as crazy as that.
I've never considered Far Cry to take itself overly seriously anyway. So yeah. this wasn't a surprise to me. Like, just like everyone talks about the testy festy mission, the alien yeah. gun, and even the Clutch Nixon guy with the races and stuff you can do.
Yeah. I mean, even Far Cry 3 and 4, I think the main narratives were somewhat serious. Like Far Cry 3, I remember doing missions for that buck guy and having like the knife fight with him, and he was a big psycho, and just all those characters you would do missions for, those are fairly serious. And then all the side stuff, you'd be like doing drugs, and well, I think some of the drugs were a part of the main quest as well, but there was like the occasional crazy
tattoos
character.
In the game as perks. Were your perks labeled in tattoos or something?
Yeah, they were.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then 4, I remember, I know Pagan Min was a little crazy, like you said, but I do remember some serious missions in that. So I think this is what Far Cry is. And I don't necessarily, I kind of regret saying that. I think this probably is the darkest main narrative.
Yeah.
That have been I'm kind of thinking back on the last thing I did in the game, and I don't remember anything in 3 and 4 being as dark as what happened. But I still I don't know, just my personal opinion, and I can't really go into detail why I think it's working better or whatever, but I just don't think the silly stuff really throws it off too much in my opinion.
Yeah. Specialists are brand new to the game as well. I know you could hire people. I think you could hire guns for hire in 4, and I know in Primal that you could have animals running around with you, but I never played Primal. Yeah. So yeah, I guess Far Cry 5 is the culmination of the stuff you can do in 4 and Primal. But I like the diversity among the, I don't mean just races. I mean like actual gameplay diversity of the specialist. I like how Boomer can spot enemies for you and steal weapons from them. I like how Cheeseburger, which is just incredible, the grizzly bear named Cheeseburger, will go on a rampage if you send him out there. He's perfect for running and gunning.
He'll draw fire.
Like we talked about, the sniper can snipe people for you.
Yeah.
Gosh, Nick Rye, I haven't used. I assume he just drops bombs if you need him to.
Yeah, you can have him do bombs. Funny thing about him, dude. I called him in to do a bombing raid, and he got shot out of the sky. His plane comes flying towards me, hits the ground, and his lifeless body goes flying out of it, and his dead carcass is laying there. And I get over the radio, "All right, man, I'll be back later." And he's just dead in front of me. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Boomer die horrifically one time. We were on the road, and you know, they don't let it makes sense because the specialists are human beings. One's a bear, one's a dog, so not all of them can ride in your car. But yeah. I wish Boomer specifically could, because he's always running next to your car, and I've accidentally hit him with my car several times. But one time he was in the middle of the road and I was in a firefight, but a truck, like a big semi, was flying past us and destroyed Boomer, dude. I mean, Boomer went flying when this truck hit him. And not only that, but a car was smoking, like a truck. He landed next to a car and the car blew up and landed on his body. You know, he was like he wasn't dead, but I could revive him. And the truck blew up, ignited him in flames, and the truck landed on his body, and he just burned and died instantly from that. I was like, oh my God. That was the first time I'd seen him die. I didn't know what was going to happen. Obviously he can respawn. I just hit my mic so hard. Or obviously he can respawn later, but watching the specialist die is so funny. And the fact that you can control everything they do and where they go is even better, because in our stream, there's a clip on Twitter, and I think we shared it on Discord too, where we made cheeseburger sit still and proceeded to drop several explosives underneath him and then blow them up. And he goes flying 20 feet in the air, and it's so funny but so terrible. And we're going to do what we did in Far Cry 4 co-op next time we play, where we stack just a crap ton of bodies on top of each other and then blow those up. I think we did that with a bunch of elephants in Far Cry 4. And I remember your girlfriend at the time was not happy about that.
Oh yeah, she's big into elephants and stuff.
Blowing up like a giant carcass of our giant pile of elephant carcasses.
Yeah, she was deeply offended by that.
Good times, so, good times.
Yeah, good times.
So but, yeah, we're going to stream that game some more, I know for sure, because it's just a fun one in co-op especially. So
yeah, I think the co-op is, I know it was in Far Cry 4, but you could only do hunts and a select amount of things, but it's really awesome that you can actually play through the entirety of the game in co-op. I think that's really awesome, and I hope they continue to do that.
I agree. So. Yeah, I'm still just as stoked about Far Cry as I am, or as I have been in the past, and I'm loving this one. So yeah. I hope
I think
they continue
it, I think
to
it
be
just
great.
Kinda I think it just kinda shows me that I was hankering for a Far Cry game more than I thought I was.
Yeah. And like we said, the PC side of things really does improve the experience. And it's not bad at all on PS4, because like I said, I played 6 hours on PS4 Pro. Looks great, runs very well, but I love my shooters on PC now. I've fully transitioned into preferring to play shooters on PC, because it is an entirely different world, and in my opinion, a better one.
Yeah, this is the, now that I think about it, this is one of the, I've dabbled in some first person games like here, there, like I played Dishonored, but this is the first like really big lengthy first person shooter game as far as I can remember that I've really dove into since I've had my PC.
You played Wolfenstein, didn't you?
Oh yeah, you're right. And a bit of Destiny. That felt amazing too. Played what?
And a bit of Destiny as well on PC.
A tiny bit of Destiny. Yeah. But besides Wolfenstein, yeah, I wish that was a while ago too. I don't even know the point I'm trying to make. I'm just saying, for the most part, I've hilariously been playing a majority of the games that on PC with a controller. Like I even switched back to Ni No Kuni on a controller just because I just like my playing games like that with a controller. Yeah. So I'm just constantly reminded, being new to PC gaming, just how good, like you said, a first person shooter on PC feels. Just, you know, along with aiming and stuff, along with the high frame rate, etc., etc. So yeah, that's all I kind of have to say about Far Cry 5. Really enjoying it a whole lot. Super fun.
As am I. I can't wait to play more.
Yeah, same here. Got to play some more co-op for show. Got to play that and
a way out.
Yeah, really need to play that.
We could probably knock that out in an evening or two if we sat down and played it.
I'm guessing probably three evenings is my guess. Okay. Probably like, I guess it depends on how long you play. I'm guessing 6 or 7 hours. So two, three hour sessions or 3 2-hour sessions. So
let's do it.
Yeah, dude, I'm ready for that whenever you are.
I could probably start Tuesday night if you wanted to.
Yeah, I should be able to. All right. I don't think I'm doing anything.
Let's plan on it, man.
So yeah, that I played those things. I'm played some more NCAA. It's pretty much
great.
Pretty much all I played. Me and my coworker had an absolutely intense tournament. While I was up in Virginia, we played every night. We'd play like four games, and the first night I won all four of the games. The second night he won two out of the four games, so we were tied. And then the third night, I won three out of the four games. And the final game we played, I think the score was like 60-something to 14. So I put my flag in the ground there, showed him who's boss in our big tournament. But man, that game just, I want football to start again so bad, I just can't even take it. And a little update on my freakout, I'm praying that it was an April Fool's joke that this guy is pulling, because
it's the day to do it.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a little disrespectful, right? To do that as an April Fool's joke. So that's kind of keeping me just on my toes, but one of the big recruiters that does things for UGA, he retweeted that guy's tweet saying he decommitted, and he had like a face with like the tongue sticking out and like a funny face next to it. So I'm assuming that means it's an April Fool's joke, but I guess I'll see when I wake up tomorrow if it is or not. So
well, for your sake and to an extent my sake, I hope it is too.
But yeah, that has so much to do with video games. But yeah, man, that's all I played this week.
Great. I played nothing else, I don't think. So that was my week.
Awesome. You ready to get into the meat of this?
Yeah, let's do it, dude.
All right, man. This is the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my two best friends and I normally get together every single week to discuss video games. Obviously, you can find all of our content, including the video version of this podcast, except this week, over at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. If YouTube is not good for you and you'd like to take us on the go, you can find this podcast weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Google Play, and other podcasting services. Please check the link in the description down below for timestamps to skip throughout the podcast, links to our social media pages, Xbox Club, PlayStation Community, Discord, and other means to connect with us. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel and be sure to like and comment down below to get involved with the It's Obvious community. Doing so helped us out tremendously, and we would forever be in your debt with all that out of the way. Hey man, what's the news?
Preston, to no one's surprise, Electronic Arts is indeed developing an open world Star Wars game with online elements, quote unquote. This news comes courtesy of Samuel Horty of PC Gamer. He says Electronic Arts is working on an open world Star Wars game with online elements, according to one of the companies. For some reason, that word is white on my page, so I have no idea. Probably a meeting or a conference call. It's looking for a lead online engineer to deliver online features for a Star Wars open world project from its Vancouver studio. The listing doesn't provide any more details about the game, but it could be a continuation of the Star Wars project that Visceral Games was working on at EA. That word's white too. Why are those words white? I did not proofread this before I pulled it up. That was a story-based linear adventure game, but EA wanted to completely rework it, and the company's vice president, Patrick Soderlund, talked about giving it greater depth and breadth. So that's no surprise. We have heard this before, but that's confirmed now that's happening. We've talked about it in the past, what we'd like to see in Star Wars open world games, so we won't talk about it here. But if you're a new listener, relatively new, and you've never heard our episode titled Pitch the Next Star Wars Video Game, very old episode. In fact, it may only be available on YouTube. I can't remember. But that episode's either on our YouTube podcast playlist or in the backlog of our RSS feed on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and everything. But that's an episode if you're a Star Wars fan, especially Star Wars video game fan. We go into all kinds of ideas that we have for Star Wars games in that episode. But cool, dude. I hope it's good.
Yeah. I hope as well. We'll see.
Yeah, we were heartbroken over the ragtag Visceral Games Star Wars cancellation, but hopefully some of those elements remain to exist in the reworked version that Vancouver is supposedly working on, if that is indeed what they're reworking. Last I heard, EA Motive was going to take over that project.
But yeah, remind me, so.
EA Vancouver, what have they worked on most recently?
EA Vancouver?
Yeah.
I can look it up real quick.
I can't recall.
Looks like just a bunch of sports games.
That's lame, dude.
I think so.
Hey, if they want to make a sports Star Wars game, please do a pod racing game, dude. I would be so open to a pod racing game where you customize your pod racer. That's been an idea people have thrown out for years, but I think that could be so cool.
I enjoyed the pod racing game on Nintendo 64.
As did I. Especially the one at Dave & Buster's, man. That was great.
Never played that one.
It was fun. Let's talk about PUBG custom games. This comes from Lewis Stowe of COD Connected. He says, it seems PUBG will be getting some newer modes to spice up its gameplay, similar to Fortnite's limited time game modes, with periodically changing preset custom games. These modes the developers add will allow them to try new things and experiment with different game parameters. I'm not going to read the rest of this, but I know one of them is the 8-man squad mode. And in addition to that 8-man squad mode, they're having assault rifles spawn far more often, I guess, to up the ante there. But that's what they mean by experimenting with other parameters in addition to custom game modes like that, where they, oh, this map will or this match will spawn far more sniper rifles or different weapons or more vehicles or blah, 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 blah. So obviously PUBG is behind in the race of the war for Battle Royale right now. Obviously, they're very much in second place to Fortnite at this point, but they are definitely the pioneers. I'm not necessarily pioneers, but the ones that sort of were the first to really perfect that Battle Royale genre and have it explode. So I still really, really enjoy PUBG. I think the mobile version is a ton of fun. I've definitely been playing matches now. I don't play it consistently, but when I do, I've definitely played many matches with actual players in the recent days. And it's a super fun experience and runs very well. And when I do play NPC, it's just a ton of fun. I haven't played it consistently in a while. And I think the last time I played was with Zach when he was over. And I played with you and Jay a couple times, but I really love PUBG. I don't know why Fortnite doesn't grab me. I mean, I may try to dabble in it some more down the road. Maybe try to get half decent at it. You know, change my keyboard mapping to make the building simpler from what people describe. But for some reason, Fortnite does not grab me like PUBG does. I don't know why. So I'm personally very excited to see what they do with PUBG. I know the new map, I can't remember what the code name is. The Tropical Island map is going to hit the test server very soon. So it looks from a distance, I haven't seen any close-up images of it. From a distance, it looks very similar to the first map. So it doesn't have me totally hyped yet, but I'm hoping for obviously there'll be some palm trees, I assume, but yeah. Maybe some jungle shacks and a beach setting, maybe. I don't know. But I'm still holding out for that that snow map that I think is inevitable.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool. And I'd like to see them just change like the weather in the game. Like maybe one map it's raining and it makes your visibility a bit more difficult. I'd like to see a night version of each map. That'd be really cool. That's what one of the things I love about Hunt is being able to play on that same map in either night or day, because it totally changes the experience. So, yeah. Man, I could swallow, I'm swallowing like a glass worth of mucus right now. It's disgusting. Sorry, Casey. Casey's sitting next to me. That is pretty gross, but I'm just being, you know, totally transparent here with everyone listening. But yeah, do you still have any interest in PUBG at all?
I guess.
I guess. I think it's a fun game. It's not something I'm dying to play every day, but yeah. When I do play it, I think it's a lot of fun.
There's so much stuff to play right now. If I was in a drought and just kind of wanted to play them, you know, a game to just play, I would be more likely to go back to it. But I have way too much stuff to play single player wise right now to really jump into PUBG consistently.
I feel you, my friend. I'm in the exact same boat. And we have just a ton more coming our way in the coming months. So, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Hellblade's coming to Xbox One on April 11th, Preston.
That's really cool.
I'm going to replay it on Xbox. Dude, never finished on PlayStation. Going to finish on Xbox.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, man.
Yeah, that's cool, I guess, for Xbox owners or who exclusively own Xbox who are interested in Hellblade. You can get your hands on it now. Yeah,
that's definitely a game I would recommend.
I still haven't finished it, but from what I've played, I enjoyed it. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as the rest of the world did, but I definitely liked it a lot, and I owe
it
to myself to finish it.
Yeah, you need to finish it.
I will. I definitely will.
Did you get past the dark part with the creature?
Not yet. I've killed two of the bosses.
Oh, okay.
I killed the fire boss and the shadow boss.
Okay.
It's like
man. There's like a creature boss fight that I think you at least need to play that, because that part is very cool.
Nice.
Very scary.
It was funny
too.
You shouldn't have told me about that combat section at the end where you fight a billion enemies, because that actually turned me off big time. that's why I haven't finished it, because I'm dreading that.
That's way past the really coolest parts though. So
yeah, I will finish it in time.
Yeah.
Speaking of Xbox, my friend, we have the Xbox games with gold for April. You ready?
I'm ready.
We're getting
Hit
the witness.
With them.
That little puzzle island puzzle game that I did a single Let's Play for some odd reason back in the day. I was terribly bored the entire time. I remember I edited the absolute crap out of that, too, to make it somewhat interesting, and it was still boring. But people like that
game
a lot.
Crazy
so.
Praise, yeah.
Yeah, maybe if you enjoy puzzle games on an open-world island like that, it'll be up your alley. Assassin's Creed Syndicate, will be free on Xbox One. You enjoyed Syndicate to an extent, but now that you've played Origins,
yeah,
how do you feel
it's
about
like after
it?
Origins, you just can't. Like, I tried to play Rogue because the Rogue was coming up again, and I got it for really cheap on PC, and it's impossible to go back to. Origins just reinvented so much stuff to make Assassin's Creed so much better. It's just so hard to go back.
I also need
now.
To play that.
Yes.
Desperately. I know I'll totally love it too when I do. Cars 2, the video game. I'm personally very excited about this one. It's backwards compatible on Xbox 360 and Xbox One. So
yeah,
get stoked
for
that.
Amazing.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if it was Cars 1 or Cars 3, but Cars 2, that's hilarious. Dead Space 2 is also coming.
That's a good one.
I never played anything beyond Dead Space 1.
I played like halfway through 2, yeah. And I enjoyed it. I'm not exactly sure why I stopped, but from what I played, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I adore Dead Space 2. That is probably my favorite survival horror game in addition to Resident Evil 7. So I still need to play Resident Evil 4. That's on my backlog with a million other things.
Yeah.
So while we're on the topic of Xbox, my friend No Man's Sky is also making his way to Xbox this summer. And in addition to that, it says Hello Games will release No Man's Sky next, which is the next major update. A free update for the game, and it will also be available day one for the Xbox One edition. It says the update is free for all existing players and is, according to Hello Games, the game's biggest update so far. So No Man's Sky is one of those games, just like we talked about earlier, in addition to Sea of Thieves, where I see the potential and I want to see it realized, but I'm not really holding out for it, but I do want to see it prevail in the long run. Because the idea of No Man's Sky is so intriguing, and the music combined with flying through space and landing on a planet really was magical to an extent for me. It's just once you get there, you're just mining stuff, and all the animals are just shish kebabs of different parts they've designed that they've thrown together. Yeah. But the overarching idea, just wandering alone on this planet with the music playing, was very cool for me, and I'd like to see that become something awesome. The only thing they got to look out for is Dual Universe is a major competitor for No Man's Sky, and I think they're doing everything that No Man's Sky wants to do, but they're already doing it. So, have you heard about Dual Universe?
Dual Universe?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
And maybe you can look it up, but I'm pretty sure that's the title. It's an indie game very similar to No Man's Sky where you're in space, but it's the in-game economy is completely player-structured. It's created and run by players. So it's a massive, massive game. I know one of the COD guys checked it out at PAX East or PAX West when we were there last year, and he blew my mind the way he described it to me. But that's something to read up on if you guys haven't heard of it. I think it's called Dual Universe.
Yeah, it is. A continuous single shard sandbox sci-fi MMORPG focused on emergent gameplay and player-driven in-game economy, politics, trade, and warfare. Huh.
Yeah, looks super
cool.
Seems
pretty cool. Yeah.
So I will say I think No Man's Sky is a way cooler title because I think that sounds awesome. I mean, I think Sea of Thieves sounds really cool. No Man's Sky. I always thought No Man's Sky would be a great band name. That's besides the point. But anyway, let's move on to PlayStation news. Hashtag not fanboys. The PlayStation Plus free games for April are upon us, Preston. And according to this list, they definitely had to take, they had to reel it back in, I'll say, after last month, because last month was so incredible.
Yeah.
But this month we're getting Mad Max Trackmania Turbo and Q-Bert rebooted on PS4. Mad Max I played for about 10 hours. And I think something else came out and took me away from it. I didn't dislike it. It didn't blow my mind, but I thought it was a pretty solid open world action game, similar to Far Cry in a sense. You played it a bit too, didn't you? Am I thinking of someone else?
Oh, Mad Max?
Yeah.
Yo, yeah, I played Mad Max. I think that's a solid, it's a fun game. It's just, there's every time I've tried to sit down and really get through that game, I just can't because there's just other stuff I'd rather be playing. So, but from what I've played, it's solid, and I know it got a decent reviews. And I know that's like the big game that Colin Moriarty really likes to put out there. He thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, really I think like the car combat in that game, especially.
He was, because he wasn't really into Metal Gear Solid 5, so he was like the only guy playing, I think, Mad Max when it came out.
Yeah.
So
it's weird. It reminded me, I'm sure other people have said this too, but it was kind of one of the first thoughts I had when playing it. It reminded me of like Twisted Metal in an open world, but you could also get out of your car, which I thought was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to dive into community questions?
Yeah, man. The
news was pretty weak.
Dive right into
that
shit.
Obviously, we talked about Sea of Thieves a bit, probably unnecessarily, but it was really more for my sake to brainstorm a bit before I write about it. But and Far Cry, which was a lot of fun. I look forward to playing more of that. But anyway, community questions to all of you who send us questions week in and week out to continue the conversation in the latter half of each episode. We greatly appreciate it. Please continue to do so for Ask IOG, our additional show, or this podcast specifically, because we have an incredible, flourishing backlog of questions to get to on Ask IOG. I could theoretically do one this week because I only have school Monday, Wednesday, and I only work Monday, Wednesday. So those are my two brutal days this week, but Tuesday, Thursday specifically, I'm pretty wide open to do stuff. So maybe we can crank out an Ask IOG, but I'm not going to promise it because we never fulfill the promises we make on this podcast, unfortunately. But keep sending us questions because we're very excited to get to them and we will answer them in time. I can assure you that. But this week specifically, we have four chunky ones. The questions are pretty lengthy, Preston, but I think they'll really garner some good conversation or inspire some good conversation. So
yes,
if you reach us for community questions, you can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming, or you can submit your questions in the Ask IOG section on our Discord channel. And always include the hashtag in any of those places when you submit a question. Include the hashtag AskIOG so we know you want your question right on the show. But again, without further ado, let's jump in, Preston. First one comes from Ian. Ian says, how do you feel about emulators and ROMs? For some reason, for some of the earlier era games like Hybrid Heaven, the only way you might be able to play the game is through an emulator. I still have my NES and Nintendo 64, but neither of them work properly without a fix. But with an emulator, I, as well as other gamers, can still enjoy some of these games. I know Nintendo doesn't like them, but they can keep changing for the very same thing, albeit in the form of the virtual console. But only some games are selected to appear there. And if you've already purchased the game in the form of a cartridge, is it wrong to play the ROM on a PC? Thoughts?
This is something that I've seen that I've kind of been... I've looked at these debates from afar, but I've never really cared enough to really get into the... I can't think of what I'm trying to say either. I've never really like looked into the legality or the issues of everything that involves emulators, but I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I've used emulators for games that I haven't bought, mainly like older games, and I've used emulators for games that I've bought numerous times. I remember one trip in particular, pretty lenthy family trip. I was playing Ocarina of Time on my laptop off a 360 controller in the car. So, I mean, I personally don't mind emulators for these older games, especially for games where the prices are just absolutely insane, where the game is ridiculously rare, or where that's honestly the only way that you could even play the game. So, and I'm very much the type of person, I do not appreciate people that download music illegally. I don't like that. I don't like people stealing music, or I just said that, people stealing movies or people stealing video games, especially just like pirating and stuff. I am not a supporter of that in the slightest, even if it's a company like EA where they're screwing us over, so we're going to screw them over. I think that's a completely dumb argument. These people put a lot of work and time into this game, and it's not right of you to just take that from them for free. I don't think there's any argument that could make me feel or change my mind on that, or just make it better morally, in my opinion. But when it comes to just old ROMs and stuff, I just honestly, I don't think it matters, in my opinion, you know, too much for games that are that old and you know, just you
Preston,
know, like
someone
just
made that so. Game.
Yeah, they did a long ass time ago.
Yeah, I'm not totally opposed to the emulator thing either. I think I played. Tell me if this counts as the emulator. I can get confused in these sorts of things. I played Super Mario World and one of the Zelda games on iPhone when I jailbroke my iPhone.
Yeah,
back
that's
in the
an
day.
Emulator. That's an emulator.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, I get that kind of stuff, especially the old stuff. I don't have much of an opinion on, but. Yeah, I think it's cool, especially if it's an older game. It'd be one thing to be like, oh, yeah, dude, I'm playing God of War on my my Switch. I found this emulator and making it work. But
I think there is a line, though. Like, people that are emulating, like, Breath of the Wild on PC, as cool as it is, that's the thing. I don't know the legalities. If you bought Breath of the Wild and then you use that ROM on PC, I know Nintendo doesn't like that. I just don't know the trouble that you can get in. I would be fine with it. Like, if you bought it and want to do whatever you want with it, then I'm of the mindset like, yeah, dude, you bought it, do whatever you want with it. And of course there are people out there that are downloading that free. I just don't know where the line cuts off, where it's like, you can download, you know, Super Nintendo to Nintendo 64 and everything should be fine, but everything after that, that's a big no-no. So I would have to kind of look in if there's like a length of time where legally that stuff matters, you know. I don't know. I just think, to be safe, I just think if you're downloading like Nintendo and, you know, Nintendo 64 stuff like that, I don't think it's a big deal, and I haven't heard of anybody, you know, going to jail for things like that either. So
yeah, dude,
I don't necessarily know if...
I got 10 years in the can from downloading Zelda on my Android phone, man.
Yeah,
serious crime.
Yeah, for real, dude. Yeah, so I would have to look into something like that. That's actually pretty interesting. I would actually wouldn't mind. I'm looking up a video or something where somebody kind of discusses this. So that's really all I have to say, just in terms of how I would morally view it or whatever.
Same for me. Thank you very much for your question, Ian. Swain Scott writes in with a very detailed Battle Royale idea. So stick with me on this one. But this is his idea for Battle Royale. He has a little intro, too. But we'll get through it and kind of talk about how we feel about it. And then maybe throw out some Battle Royale ideas of our own. How about that?
Okay.
Swain Scott says, excuse me, not Swain Scott, Swain Stott. Forgive me. Quote, my question isn't much of a question as it is an idea that is open for discussion / digging further. We know that Battle Royale types are getting tons of attention and there are lots of unexplored opportunities within the genre. Sorry, my nose is itching like crazy. Ugh. All right. How about this? Everyone starts the round as a spirit or ball or some shapeless entity, and when the fight begins, you run / float around acquiring loot. And by loot, I mean body parts. Yes! These body parts, of course, consist of head, torso, arms, and legs. There would be a wide variety of each type. I'm really interested in keeping the body parts organic, but maybe mixing robotics in also. For legs, we could have spring heels, sprinting blades, or rocket boosters. Left arms could be melee-oriented, such as claws, swords, clamps, or a hammer. Or they could be used to build objects specific to the arm type, blockades, trampolines, ramps, or whatever else. The right arm would, of course, be a ranged weapon. The torso could be either a defensive or carrying capacity, aerodynamic-focused. Your head would help you help your perception in some way with zooming capabilities or infrared, etc. Also altering the map from a flat earth feel to more of a sphere that encourages climbing and descending instead of settling for another marathon simulator. The storm / blue would close in as a sphere as well. How do you feel about this, Preston? It's a lot to take in, but from what you gathered from that, how do you feel about it?
I'll donate to that guy's Kickstarter.
Yeah. I'll give him this. It's original. I mean, obviously the Battle Royale bit with the sphere closing in has been done many times and is still being done. But the idea of being a little sphere, like an entity that collects body parts, is original. I'll give you that, Swain. So, yeah, make it happen. I'll definitely play it. I'm sure many people would play it on early access as well, because that's a hot genre at the moment. But by the time you get it off the ground, Battle Royale may have come and gone. I don't know. But we'll see. But I encourage you to pursue that idea. Obviously, it's one thing to have a game idea and then bring it to life is a whole nother feat entirely. But maybe pitch it to some game studios. I wish people could pitch to game studios the way that people pitch to movie studios and television studios. Then again, I know most studios are bound to being first party studios for most companies. But an indie studio, for example, let's say you have this cool idea you can pitch to someone that has the means of bringing it to life if they like it enough. They can purchase your idea, maybe. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, I just pitched to Campo Santo, dude, for a Battle Royale game based in the Firewatch
world.
That
should be a TV show, man.
Yeah, that would actually be a really fun show to watch. I'd like that. Maybe make it, and people are so internet crazy nowadays, maybe just make it like a YouTube show or something.
Yeah, let's pitch this pitch for a show about pitching pitches to a company.
Yeah, we should. We should definitely do that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of layers to dig through there to make it a reality, but maybe someone will be interested. No one steal that idea. We're calling it. We patented it. It's patented on this episode.
It's done.
Yeah. Battle Royale ideas I have are none because I don't know what I'd like to see. Like, I like PUBG. I really, really like Hunt. That is because I like Hunt so much that where can you go from that now is what I'm wondering. Like, I actually want to get back to Hunt after like post Far Cry and God of War and stuff. I may dabble in Hunt a little this week if I have time because I just really, really like that gameplay and the way it makes me feel while I'm playing it. So when people create Battle Royale game modes, I want to see them explored in that sense where Hunt's sake is like the NPC enemies and the setting specifically and the bosses you're hunting after. It's really a glorified Monster Hunter game with PvP elements added on top of that. So that's what I like to see specifically with Battlefield and stuff we have coming later this year and potentially Red Dead if that rumor is even remotely true. So we'll see in time. Moving on. Zarek writes in and says, "Hello, brethren. I'm a little depressed I can't make it to Anime Boston this weekend." And I think Anime Boston was not this weekend, but the previous weekend, maybe? Or maybe it was this weekend, I can't remember. He says, "But it got me thinking about conventions and what other events I would like to go to. This would have been my first, but others I would love to go to someday are E3, BlizzCon, and maybe Comic-Con. What are your top 3 to 5 conventions on your wish lists?" Let's hear him, Preston.
Number one, it's gotta be, I gotta be classic and say E3, I guess.
Yeah.
E3 for sure. But very, very close to that one, like literally almost up its butt, but it's slightly pulled back due to last year. It's gotta be PSX. Cause if I went last year, I would have been a tiny bit bummed. from the big event or just like the big showcase there, but hopefully they've received the feedback and it'll be back to what it typically is, but hopefully they just won't blow their load at Paris Games Week.
Right. Yeah, that was a mistake for sure. Yeah, I mean, not a mistake because people enjoyed it and it was great for Paris, but
I know they
for PSX sake it was kind of a bummer.
I know they kind of want to do stuff overseas as well, share the love.
Yeah, I get that completely.
That's fine. And I guess third, I don't know, Gamescom maybe?
Dragon Con in Atlanta?
Maybe I'll say Tokyo Game Show. I would love to go to Tokyo.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be very cool.
I think that would be freaking awesome. So I'll say that. Tokyo Game Show.
Okay. Excellent. I have lived my dream of going to E3, which is, I'm so grateful for that. Going back this year, with COG, that's going to be really awesome, but also grueling. I'm not going to be one of those guys that's like, "Oh yeah, dude, I've been there. It's totally sucks, but it's, you know, you got to go to it." I'm not at that point yet at all. I'm still so excited to go back, but it is a lot of work, which I'm excited for. I mean, at the end of the day, you're working with video games, so I cannot complain about that. It's one thing to go to a conference to do something you don't like at all, but the fact that I get to go there and not only play games, but meet cool people and make videos the whole time is just a total blessing. So I'm pumped for that. So I've lived my dream of E3. PAX was really awesome. I won't say it's one of my favorites, but I think what's most unique about it is just the indie presence there. And I know that seems so ironic to hear me say, because I'm not in love with most indie games I play, because I'm definitely more of a AAA kind of gamer. But meeting the developers that are so on fire and passionate about the games they're developing is fascinating, especially post Blood, Sweat, and Pixels from Jason Schreier, to reading the stories of some of these indie developers. And most of them got a lot of notoriety through PAX West, specifically in Seattle. So to have been there and experienced that firsthand in person was just very, very cool. So PAX is really, really, and it's very community focused too. It's not, I mean, media is present there, but there's a ton of cosplay there. And there's also just a ton of just regular gamers that just go there to hang out and have fun and preview games early. So if you ever get the chance to go to PAX, either East or West, definitely go, because it was a really fun time. But top three for me, obviously E3, I can't really include now. So I'm going to go with definitely Tokyo Game Show. That definitely sparks for me. I think PSX is up there. And I'm going to go. I don't know if I want to say Comic-Con or BlizzCon, because I like Blizzard a lot, but I don't think I'm as stoked about it as I am for certain movies. So I think I'm going to go with Comic-Con just to be a little different, because I know Jacob would say BlizzCon. But I think Comic-Con would be cool, because I do have a passion for filmmaking as well and just movies in general. Because I know for a fact, if I wasn't doing a gaming podcast, I'd probably do a movie podcast. But I like the like all the panels that occur at Comic-Con and fans and media getting to see snippets of big movies coming soon and everything. I mean, comic book movies, yeah. I mean, I like movies as a whole, but maybe not even Comic-Con. Something like, I know people make fun of South by Southwest and some of the wackiness that goes on there, but just strip all the stupid aspects of it away and just focus on the movie side of things. I think it'd be really fun to go to a conference like that. So yeah, anything movie related would be cool, but those are probably my top three. So
nice.
But yeah, that was a fun question, Zarek. Thank you for that one. Big finale right here from Handsome Jack. Handsome Jack says, and this is Handsome Jack from Borderlands, by the way.
Ah.
The man himself. He says, greetings to you, Garrett. Sexiest fucking voice ever. I read Handsome Jack, greetings to you, but I didn't read the rest of this question
before
this podcast.
Wow, I wonder why you picked this question, Garrett.
No, there's more to it, believe me. It's not over yet. Which I still don't understand that. I'm glad some people think that, but I don't understand that at all. Jacob, you emit an aura of zen. You're so calm, dude. And it says, finally, Preston, who I want to say something positive about, but you remind me of Preston from Fallout 4, whom I hated. So I don't know if you're I don't know. I guess you're a leader figure, I guess. So well, you're a leader figure, you. Preston.
Thank you. I need you to go protect a settlement.
Yeah. So. What are you doing submitting questions? Get to that settlement. He says, I discovered your podcast through your Persona 5 episode, and I fell in love with you immediately. Well, Handsome Jack, we're in love with you too, just so you're aware. He says, I'm a dog walker, and I walk about 15 to 20 kilometers for about 6 to 7 hours every single day. So your 2 to 3 hour podcast are perfect, in all caps, to listen to for me. My question is that I got a Switch last year, the Mario Odyssey bundle, and so far I'm loving it. However, lately I have been getting into popular indie games that have been ported to the Switch, like The Binding of Isaac, Afterbirth, Enter the Gungeon, Darkest Dungeon, etc., etc. What are your guys' experiences with indie titles, and what are your general thoughts when comparing them to AAA games? Handsome Jack, before we answer your question, thank you again for tuning into the stream. That goes to all of you who tuned into the Far Cry stream the other night, and I enjoyed our conversation about your job walking dogs. That's the greatest job I've ever heard of, and I'm very, very envious. So I've been thinking about it a lot, actually. I'm like, I might drop everything to walk dogs for a living. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about our indie experiences, Preston.
Okay.
No Man's Sky sucked. Firewatch was buggy as hell. I'm trying to be a douchebag that makes fun of everything bad about indie games, but in reality, Preston, how do you feel about them?
Just indie games in general?
And your experiences overall from the ones you've played, whether you've enjoyed them or not. How are you feeling?
I think the ones that I've played, I've enjoyed because...
I think the big one we need to talk about first is Hellblade, especially.
Yeah. I enjoyed that one a whole lot. That's the thing is, like, the reason I even bought that is because it didn't even come off as an indie game to me. Like, I kind of just viewed that as a big AAA release coming out.
Right.
So I just picked it up. And now I don't want to come off as one of the guys that, I'm not going to play it unless it's a AAA release. But typically I'm so consumed by... the big AAA releases, those are the games I'm typically that are on my calendar and I'm looking forward to. So unless something like big time catches my eye in the indie scene, I typically don't really kind of wade into those waters. Right. Which, you know, Firewatch caught my eye, and even though I was playing it on the post, or not post, pre-patch or whatever on the PlayStation 4, ran like garbage, but I still enjoyed, you know, I got through it and played it, and I still enjoyed it. Oh man, this is really bad. That's the thing, is like, I guess, yeah, No Man's Sky was indie, I guess, even though it, how much, do we even know how much money was put into that game from like Sony?
No Man's Sky?
Yeah, kind of like Tainted.
Didn't Sony invest in that a bit, or they just promote it?
I don't know. I guess if we count it as an indie game, that one caught my eye, and I don't really want to talk about No Man's Sky because we've just done it, you know, beaten that horse to death, but I'm not of the camp to just completely shit on that game. I kind of knew what it was going in.
Yeah, you and I both said that. We knew what we were getting into.
Yeah, so. I didn't think it was going to be this, like, life-changing event like a lot of people were making it out.
I mean,
to
I will
be.
Say it literally, it was exactly what I expected it to be.
So. Yeah, and for what it was, I had a decent time with it. So, should I have spent $60 on it?
Absolutely not.
No.
I think 30 would be a really solid price.
Yeah,
price.
20, 30 bucks.
Or pre-updates, especially.
Yeah, if you can, I'm sure when Next comes out, I'm sure there will be some deals. And if it interests you at all, just, you know, space exploration, I would recommend it for that price, because it is cool, and it is an experience that isn't in any other game, just kind of taking off on a ship going in outer space and landing on another planet. Like, that is really freaking cool.
It is very cool,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't really dabble in indie games too much. There have been a few that I've wanted to get to, like Celeste I want to get to, or Celeste, as Jacob says, and I would like to get to... Undertale, never played that. Those are really the two that are sticking out. I guess that kind of just answers your question right there, that I can't even really come up with a handful of them. So I don't really play a lot of them, and
yeah,
the indie games I dabble in are
the ones that are heavily marketed, not only just from a marketing standpoint, but just from buzz around gaming in general, just people talking about them. Shovel Knight, most notably. I loved Shovel Knight.
Oh yeah,
very nostalgic for me too. Yeah, Shovel Knight was awesome. Celeste, from what I have played, has been great. I'm only on the third level of the game, and each level is very lengthy, but from what I've played from that, when I do dabble in that, it's incredible. I mean, the music and the characters. I mean, I know it's always like the music and characters in every game we play, but it is cool seeing Celeste interact with not only like her dark side, but the other characters in the world. Just feels very real. Even though it was like these little, I don't know if it's 16-bit or 8-bit or whatever it is.
I think it's 16-bit.
Yeah, despite how it looks, like the little character models that pop up when they have a conversation is just really cool. And just the way it's designed, I mean, the levels are so creative and genuinely challenging, too. So I really enjoy that. And seeing indie titles like that prevail is very inspiring. Even if you're not a game designer, just in your own pursuits in life, I think is very cool to see. And it deserves all the praise it's gotten, all the success it's seen. So, yeah, Celeste, Shovel Knight, I know they're very similar in a sense where they're side-scrollers, but... obviously Hellblade, Firewatch. I know I've played others in the past. I can't really think of at the top of my head, but these ones you've mentioned, people have been telling me for months to try them. I mean, Binding of Isaac, Afterbirth, and Enter the Gungeon and Darkest Dungeon are three names I've heard bouncing around a ton.
Darkest of Dungeon. I played that.
What'd you
one.
Think?
I thought it's very cool. I really dig the art style. I dig the no mercy in the game. Just, it will kick you while you're down. It's just extremely brutal. Like, you're supposed to die. That's like a part of the game. It's just your teammates dying and stuff.
Is it like a roguelike game or what is it?
I think the dungeons might be, I don't know. It's a turn-based game where it's like, I think it's like 4-on-4. You have four people that come with you, and it's just brutally hard, and like it was such a long time ago I played it. I think there's like a sanity meter, like some of your teammates can like go insane and like die and stuff from that. Like, it's just a very brutal, non-forgiving game with a really cool like gothic inspired art style, so I appreciate it. It's just not necessarily my type of game. I'm not patient enough to really learn the ins and outs of those games, and I'm also highly stupid when it comes to any game that has like the that asks you to be somewhat tactical on a high level. That just makes my brain just fart out. So I'm not the best person to really ask about that game, but I definitely respect it, and a lot of people acknowledge that game's awesome.
But, I think one we need to acknowledge, that's a big one we totally forgot before we end this, is Kingdom Come.
Yeah? Yeah? No, yeah, that's a good one. Oh so, my gosh, I forgot about Kingdom Come.
Yeah, from what I've played of it, it's awesome. I just haven't played a whole lot of
really,
it.
I completely forgot about Kingdom Come. That sucks. Yeah. I have over 100 hours in that game on my Steam thing. I think that game's awesome. Very cool. I need to beat that. Holy crap. Oh, I think I'm at the very end. I keep thinking I'm at the end and it keeps going. But dang. Yeah. I think we're glossing over an even bigger one is The Witcher 3.
You're right.
Yeah, that's really the biggest indie hit of our time.
Yeah, talk about big indie hit, man. Holy crap. It's like one of the best games ever. So yeah, that's a huge one.
I was just kidding, Aaron.
I know.
Okay.
I was seeing how long we could keep that going.
No, I thought you threw me off because you said you were acting like I was for real. So you got me. So,
oh, it's kind of hard to tell if when we're joking is when I don't even see you right now.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like joking over text. You can never tell what's real or not.
The way you said this is one of the best games ever. You said it with such sincerity that I believe that
should
you were
I take
serious.
Up acting?
Yeah, you should. Wow, you got me big time. So, kudos.
Well, I think that's the perfect way to end this community question.
Yeah, for sure. That was the It's Obvious Gaming podcast. Sure, my best friend and I get together every single week to discuss video games, obviously. Please check us out on the Apple podcasting app and leave us a review and a rating and subscribe to us there. That helps us out tremendously. We really want to get bigger on the Apple podcast and would love to be on the New and Noteworthy. And along with that, if you could please subscribe to the YouTube channel over at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. I haven't really checked our sub count in a while, but so I don't really know how we're doing on that front. But if you just came and subscribed, if you haven't done so already, that would help us out tremendously. Also, if you could please check out our Discord channel, which is down in the link below of our, if you're watching the YouTube video, I think it's also in the link of like the Apple podcast and everything else, right, Garrett?
It is, yes.
Okay. Check that out. We have a bunch of cool people over there discussing pretty much everything you could ever want to discuss in the world. And everybody's really nice over there. So if you want to talk with a bunch of cool people about random topics or about the podcast, that is definitely the place that you want to check out. And yeah, I think that'll pretty much cover everything unless you'd like to say something to end us, Garrett.
Yeah. And tune into our Twitch streams because we're trying to be as consistent about that as possible now. I know Jacob's pretty committed to streaming 2 times a week unless something crazy happens, but I stream at least once a week now. Uh-huh. We're trying to get that 3 streams a week at least in there because our goal is to acquire that sub button in the near future. That'd be really awesome to build a Twitch audience because Twitch streaming, weirdly enough, is a little easier for us because the commitment of not only playing a game but then later editing it into a video is very time consuming for me. Obviously, as you've noticed, we haven't had a Let's Play in weeks. It's just been podcast on the YouTube channel because it's just so time consuming. But Twitch streams are possible for us throughout the week. So, and one could argue, well, in that time you're Twitch streaming, why aren't you doing an Ask IOG? Well, there's a reason most Twitch streams are just solo with one of us doing it because not all three of us or two of us for even that matter can get together to do something like that. So yeah, please tune into Twitch and come follow. Even if you don't watch Twitch streams, or you have no interest whatsoever, just hop on over to Twitch if you have a Twitch account for that matter and follow us just so we can go up in the ranks a bit. So we greatly appreciate that support. So that's what we'll be doing this week. You can count on some more Far Cry streams. I know especially from Jacob, I think he's going to play the entire game, at least most of it through on stream. So yeah, that'd be great. And I'll probably stream the same thing, if not A Way Out with Preston this week. We'll see what happens. But we look forward to it, and we hope you all have just a wonderful game-filled week.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds great, Garrett. Thanks to everybody for listening, and we will see y'all next week.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.